Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Pro Football Chase podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you, along with my co-host, NFL safety, J.J. Wilcox, as we get ready for week six of the NFL season. Now, J.J., we just wrapped up week five. Looking forward to breaking down some of these storylines and a lot to discuss. But first things first, brother, how are you doing on this Tuesday morning?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Got my good coffee this morning. Gonna give me a good workout in a little later. Like I said, watched some good football last night. The Kansas City Chiefs are on a roll. And I'm excited, man, to be on the cast and get rolling.
Well, let's go ahead and start the podcast by going with our player of the week. Now, before I get there, though, I just want to give an update to the listeners. I had my best week of predictions, 12-4 in week five, so I'm pretty happy about that. I was 5-11 week one, 9-7 week two, 10-5 week three, 8-8 last week, but 12-4 in week five, so I'm looking to build on that, JJ. I know that you picked about three or four games different, so you were above 500 for sure. I'm sure both of us were going to continue to uptick that number.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of good games this weekend. Like I said, man, you must have an insider over there because you're on the ball right now. But nevertheless, man, yeah, I'm excited with my picks. They did a great job. It was a lot of great football, too.
All right, man, so player of the week, JJ, I'm going to go first here. I'm going to go with Saints tight end Taysom Hill. He was an absolute scoring machine on Sunday, the Saints Swiss Army knife. He unleashed an uncanny performance on Sunday that helped propel the Saints to a big-time victory over the Seahawks. We talked about the importance of that game for New Orleans. Hill posted four total touchdowns, three rushing, one passing on his way to 112 rushing yards, 22 passing yards, 39-32 win over the Seahawks. Now, JJ, Taysom Hill's been that type of guy that can play versatile roles for many years. Sean Payton brought him along. And a guy that is just one of those ultimate team guys, and here's, I think, the most special part of his performance. Hill joined Bears Hall of Fame running back Walter Payton in a rare, impressive stat on Sunday. They are now the only two players in the Super Bowl era with 20 rushing touchdowns, 8 passing, and 6 receiving, according to NFL research. So Taysom Hill, certainly in good company.
Absolutely, man. To be in a selection like that with one of the greatest of all times to ever play the game. And to have that accomplishment, man, says a lot about Taysom Hill. When he get a chance, man, he's a guy that don't complain. He's not a guy that's always in the news or in the media. He doesn't get a lot of praise for what he does, but when he does get out there, he make plays and make highlights, man. And congratulations to Taysom Hill, man, and the accolade that he reached, as well as getting the win as well. Yeah, my week five top player this week for me was Saquon, man. This guy here just keep delivering. He keep on performing. Saquon Barkley for the Giants. He just keep doing it. He's in the Wildcat. He's out wide. He's at the running back position. Like I say, they don't have a lot of firepower outside of receivers, but that's no job. That's no task. That's less than for Saquon to do, man. He just keep running between the tackles, breaking tackles. Yards per average is above 4 to 5 yards of average. You can't ask for that. That's hard to do in an NFL this league. In the league, that's so hard to run the ball in nowadays. But Saquon Barkley, man, this guy's just coming back. A lot of people had a lot of bad things to say about him last year. I didn't know how he was going to shape back from his ACL as well. But this guy just keep performing and keep proving wrong, man, to keep running the rock rail. So my hat off to Saquon this week.
Yeah, big part of why the Giants are 4-1. And for many people, he is currently the front runner for Offensive Player of the Year. He's done it all for the Giants, and certainly really cool to see him back running the dominant fashion that we saw him in his rookie season. So that's always a breath of fresh air. But next storyline here, JJ, that we're going to just touch briefly on, the Panthers did finally pull the trigger on Matt Rhule. They fired him 1-4 start. They announced it yesterday morning. They hired him in January of 2020, and he was a hot name, hot commodity at the time in the NFL coaching carousel. David Tepper, the new Panthers owner, signed him to a 7-year, $62 million deal, pried him away from Baylor, but JJ, things didn't quite go his way in Carolina, 11-27 as a Panthers coach. They had an embarrassing 37-15 loss to the Niners on Sunday, and that was the final straw for Matt Rhule's tenure. 5-11 in year one, 5-12 in 2021, and then getting off to that 1-4 start this year just didn't help his cause. So Matt Rhule, the first NFL head coach fired this season.
Needless to say, man, Carolina Panthers never want to see anybody get fired or cut short in the middle of the season. It's unfortunate for him as well, Matt Rhule. I think he did a great thing. I think Carolina just haven't had the opportunity to get over the hump since Cam Newton really took them to the Super Bowl in 2015. They had a lot of key pieces that left in free agency. Luke Kuechly retired, and a lot of great players like that in the source left in free agency as well. So I think it was just hard for them to kind of get over the hump. I think there'll be a team that may be interested in building young and coming back strong, but they're in the heart of the division as well, because we see Atlanta's putting up some points along with Tampa Bay and as well as with New Orleans Saints too.
Now, just to recap real quick, the quarterbacks that Matt Rhule had in Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater, Cam Newton. This was, of course, not the prime Cam Newton. This is an older Cam Newton that was kind of already on his way out. Sam Darnold, P.J. Walker, and then Baker Mayfield. So quarterback selection wasn't too good for Matt Rhule in Carolina. Nonetheless, you know, they did pass up quite a bit of quarterbacks in the draft, including Justin Fields. So it falls on him as well. Unfortunate, I got to meet Matt Rhule when he was at Baylor. So I'm always going to be supporting him, and maybe he'll end up back in the college ranks. JJ, he's well respected there. He turned around the Temple program and the Baylor program. Yep. We'll see what's next for Matt Rhule. And of course, the Carolina Panthers, as they now go with Steve Wilks as their interim head coach. Now, biggest takeaway, JJ, from week five. I'm going to go first here, and I'm a little bit heated about this topic because I watched the game live on Sunday. That roughing the passer penalty that was called on Grady Jarrett when he brought down Tom Brady on Sunday, yeah, was absolute ludicrous, JJ. I don't know what is going on here with NFL officials. Now, Tom Brady's 45 years old, and the referee's mind, they think he's fragile, but guess what? Nobody is forcing Tom Brady to be out on the field. Brady chooses to be out there playing the quarterback position, knowing fully well of the incredible athletes that are out there on the defensive line coming after him. But I'm just saying, you know, the Falcons, they made a push. They were trailing 21-0 at one point. They put 15 unanswered points, and that was a third down sack that would have given him the ball back with an opportunity to go down the field and win the game. But that roughing the passer penalty, you know, that just killed the Falcons' chances of a comeback at all. This is tackle football. He didn't do anything out of the ordinary. It was a play. I mean, I don't know what you want defensive players to do anymore. Do you want them to get a pillow and lay down the quarterbacks on the turf? Man. I mean, you're not wearing flags out there either, right? So I do think NFL officials need to be held accountable, JJ, if it means fining them or giving them suspensions, because some of these calls, JJ, they affect players and they affect coaches. A loss gets a player fired, man, or a player, you know what I mean? And you know that, JJ. And so for me, standing kind of on that player side of things, I certainly think something needs to be done.
Yep, I agree with you on that, man. Like I say, there's a lot of people that has a lot of stuff to lose when it comes to players and calls and different things of that sort. Coaches as well, because like I said, that could have been a make or break. That could have been momentum for the Atlanta Falcons. Who said, you know, who could have went down there and got a drive? They was coming back in a great team victory and a great team comeback as well. They was doing a great job of putting some things together. And like I say, to come down to one play like that and one call, it's pretty tough on a player as well, because you got to think it's not easy to get back there to sack this quarterback, yet alone to make a try to make a perfect tackle I mean, we're not in an ideal when anything is kind of perfect. So I think the NFL referees need to do a better job as well. I think they need to be accountable, like you said, suspensions or fines or different things of that sort, because these calls can make or break a team, let alone a player. And it can cause them, you know, things that's unnecessary.
And before you go with your biggest takeaway, JJ, last night we saw another BS call, a roughing the passer penalty that went on Chris Jones when he brought down Derek Carr. That changed the game as well, because it ended up giving the Raiders a field goal because it put him in field goal position. Now, Chris Jones, I mean, he went out there and brought down Derek Carr, and he knocked the ball loose before he even brought down Derek Carr, you know?
Right.
So that's another blemish on the NFL officials' reputation. The fans at Arrowhead did not let them off the hook with that one, booing for about 15 minutes straight, but something needs to be done there.
Yeah, I agree. That my biggest takeaway was going to be the Chris Jones as well as Devontae Adams situation. I don't want fans to think that Devontae Adams did that on purpose. I don't know his intentions, but I can just tell that he was frustrated. The guy ran across in front of him. And like I said, you coming off a loss where you think you might have should have won. And like I said, emotions is high at the time. I'm not speaking for him. I'm just speaking from a guy that actually played the game. And yet alone, you have somebody that just kind of in front of you, and like I say, you got a lot going on. You got a lot of frustration that's going on. You wanted to get that dub, and you have a guy that you don't even know walk across slowly in front of you, and you're trying to get into the locker room to get your emotions gathered together. So I think it was just a bang-bang play, and it just happened to be the guy, the cameraman that was in front of him to kind of get hit. And as well as for Chris Jones, he's doing a great job. He's been doing a great job over the last couple of years of getting back to the quarterback, and that was a great play, and I think that referee as well should be held accountable for his actions for a call like that. That was a good play by Chris Jones.
Well, the Associated Press, an insider there, put out this morning that they're going to meet regarding the high intensity with these roughing the passer calls. They said that they're not expected to make any changes to the roughing the passer penalty this season, but there certainly needs to be some compromise. I've always said it. Find them, suspend these referees. Why not? They hold you all to the same standard, JJ. If you come in later, they call a helmet to helmet, you're going to get that fine in the mail. And so for officials, I think they should have that same type of protocol. They make a bad, blatant call that affects the game, then they need to be held accountable, because this cannot stand in the NFL. And the last thing you want to happen this season is for a playoff game or a Super Bowl to be determined by one of those calls. And so they need to get that sorted out very quickly. Roger Goodell has a lot of work to do, and we'll see what happens. But definitely the fallout is pretty immense this morning on Tuesday as we get ready for week 6. Now we're going to segue to those game picks, JJ. There are 4 teams on a bye week: the Detroit Lions, the Houston Texans, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Tennessee Titans. But Thursday night, we start week 6. And it's not the most exciting matchup on paper, but it is football. The Washington Commanders, 1-4, taking on the Chicago Bears, 2-3, 7:15 p.m. Central Time kickoff on Prime Video. JJ, who are you going to roll with here?
That's a tough one, man. I know it's not the most probably prolific game. I think this game will be come down to defense. I think it's going to come down to who can sustain the offensive drives this week. I'm going to go with Chicago. I think Chicago is due for a win. They had a good, tough game up in Minnesota, as well as the Giants and things like that and that sort. So they're not too far off. I think they can sustain some blocks on the offensive lines, give Justin Fields some time to look down the field. They do got N'Keal Harrell coming back as well. I think he'll be a nice access to add on the outside as well with the running game. The defense is playing good. There's only so much you can do on the defensive side of the ball. So I like Chicago Bears here.
I like the Bears too. They're going to get that run game going with David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. Also, you mentioned N'Keal Harry. Darnell Mooney starting to play a little bit better on the outside, being that target that the Bears thought he was at the beginning of the season. Cole Kmet, they need to get him more involved, the big tight end over the middle of the field. Defensively, they may be getting their number one cornerback, Jalen Johnson, back from injury, so that'll help their cause. I will say for Washington, and I always say with them, they are a little bit dangerous because of that D-line with Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Davis, the linebacker. Those guys can wreck some havoc for opposing offenses. So Justin Fields and that Bears offensive line that has been rather inconsistent this season, they're going to have to be very careful trying to account for that type of front seven. But I think Justin Fields, he showed some things against the Minnesota Vikings on the road. I think he does just enough, and with the help of Roquan Smith and that defense, they get a 19-16 win over the Washington Commanders on Thursday night at home. So now here we go. Next matchup here, 49ers at Falcons. The 49ers are 3-2, JJ. Falcons 2-3. We just talked about that loss at Tampa Bay. The resiliency, down a lot of players. Cordarrelle Patterson on injured reserve. They're also without Kyle Pitts. We'll see what his availability is this Sunday. I expect this game to be close. I'm going to go with the Niners, though. 23-17. Yeah. I think San Francisco right now, that defense is playing at another level with DeMeco Ryans. Now, unfortunately, they lost Emmanuel Mosley for the season with a torn ACL, so that is their number one corner. Jason Verrett, though, should be close to returning. Bosa is out with a groin injury. We'll see what his status is. So they are banged up, but I'm still going to go with that Niners defense. Fred Warner, I think, will do a good job bleeding that defense. And offensively, Jimmy G's doing what he's supposed to do. He's been efficient with the ball. Debo Samuel, and also getting Jeff Wilson going in the run game. So 23-17, I think the Niners barely take it.
Yeah, the 49ers is playing some good ball, man. DeMeco Ryans got that defense flying around. He got them blitzing inside and doing this playing in the zone. He got a lot of those young players playing some great ball. The offense is doing a great job. Jimmy Garoppolo is playing conservative ball, doing a great job of not turning the ball over, giving it to his players. Debo Samuel is having a great year that we knew he would have. Kittle was getting back into the groove as well. But I like the Falcons here, man. I'm going to go with the home team here. I like what Atlanta's doing. I think they got snug of one last week. I think they're going to use that motivation and put that chip on their shoulder to give them some motivation here at the hometown. I think that gave them some confidence to know that they can go down there in Tampa Bay and play a great game like they did against a great team. And I think they're going to use that and come in and run the ball that they did the previous game to Cleveland Browns, and their defense is going to feed off of it in the home crowd as well. And I think they get a chance to get it done in the close one.
Patriots at Browns. Patriots coming off an impressive shutout victory over the Detroit Lions. Bailey Zappe, how about that? The rookie getting his first win and his first NFL career start. Now, the status of Mac Jones is unknown at this time since it's so early in the week. But if Mac Jones can't go again, it'll be Bailey Zappe yet again. They're going to Cleveland to take on a Browns team that blew a lead to the Chargers, JJ. They started off hot, but they lost another one. And Kevin Stefanski has been under fire over there for some of those late-game decisions. You know that there's still several weeks before they get Watson back from suspension, so Jacoby Brissett will continue to operate as their quarterback. Now here, this was a tough game for me to pick here, JJ. I'm going to go with the Browns, though, 24-17. They have to get it right this time. They're going to be at home. Chubb and Kareem Hunt have to continue to be the DNA on that offense. Right. The offensive line, I believe, is going to have to play better because New England defensively, they're stout, man. The corners, they have some young corners, Jonathan Jones, that are playing really solid football. So they're going to have to be on their A game. I'm going to give it to Cleveland, though. I think they're able to make enough plays. Amari Cooper on the outside. And then defensively, hopefully they can have Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney fully healthy on that D-line. Yeah. I like Cleveland here, 24-17.
Yeah, I like Cleveland. I do like Cleveland. I like what they're doing. Like I say, unfortunately, they lost a close one. But I think if they get back to their DNA, which is running the ball, running with the two-head monster that they got, let the defensive pass rush get after the quarterback, let the secondary be able to home in and do different things on the rookie quarterback back there as well. I do like New England too, but I think Cleveland Browns going to pull it off here as well.
Now, this is a very interesting matchup coming up right here, JJ. The Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, right? My upset pick of the week last week. They got the blowout victory over the Dolphins. They're taking on the road. They're 3-2, over 500. Now, they're going to Lambeau to take on a Packers team that has been very underwhelming this season, that lost to the Giants in London. Discombobulated, I think, would be a good term to describe them. I am very intrigued, and I almost want to go with the Jets here, but I'm going to give it to Green Bay just because they're at home. LaFleur and Rodgers will find a way to clean up some of those miscues. Defensively, a unit that has been very disappointing for Joe Barry. Yeah. They have all their talent there, JJ. Rayshon Gary, Jair Alexander, Adrian Amos in the backfield. Yeah. Devontae Campbell, they brought him back. Preston Smith. This is a game that they need to show up and play, especially in front of their home fans. Unless they want to be booed off their home turf, They better show up to play, and I think they do just enough. 26-23 by a field goal over the Jets. I think the Green Bay Packers get a win.
Yeah, I think it's due time for Green Bay to do that as well. I've seen some things in the article. I know Jair Alexander said some things about if they don't get this win next week, it's going to be this and that. I know Aaron Rodgers was displeased with that. So I don't know what's going on in the locker room, but I know Aaron Rodgers is a veteran guy with a great presence that's going to fix anything or any type of doubt. It's hard to go against a guy that plays at his caliber, also with the two running backs that he have as well. But I like the Jets and what they're doing, man. I think Green Bay is going to figure out maybe down the road. But for right now, I think the Jets is riding their wave. They're riding the momentum. Bryce Hall is running the ball good. And I think Green Bay, we always know they had a hard time always stopping the run. So if the Jets can do what they can do, control Aaron Rodgers, keep him to a minimum, run the ball down the Green Bay defense, I think they have a good job of coming up with the win. So I like the New York Jets here.
Jaguars at Colts here. The Jaguars, very surprising team. I mean, they started off really hot, had that big win against the Chargers. But
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And they've dropped some uncharacteristic games, lost to the Houston Texans at home. They're 2-3 now, taking on a Colts team that they themselves have fallen short of expectations. JJ, 2-2-1. We all know they played that snoozer of a game in primetime against the Broncos, and they ended up with a win, but it wasn't impressive by any means. Here, I'm going to go with the home team. I'll go with the Colts here with the expectation that Jonathan Taylor is going to be healthy and back on the field. As long as he's there and they can get that run game going, I don't see a reason as to why the Colts shouldn't win this game at home. Defensively, we'll see if they can get Shaq Leonard back out on the field, their leader. But the Jaguars, JJ, Trevor Lawrence has just been way too up and down, like he's riding a roller coaster, making some bad decisions, turning the ball over. Defensively, they have had some breakdowns in the secondary. Right now, things are unraveling a little bit for Doug Peterson. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be close still, but I'm going to go with Indy here, 2017.
Yeah, I like Indy at home. If Indy was going to Jacksonville, I would have to go with Jacksonville. But like you say, Trevor Lawrence is still having some imbalance, some inequalities. I think he's still trying to figure out as well. He's still kind of young, has a new coach as well, Doug Peterson, what he's doing. The defense is also has a new defensive coordinator in Caldwell. And I think, like I say, they built what they have. They have a great core sense of things there. But I think Indy is time for them to kind of show what they can do. It's time for Matt Ryan to show why they brought him there. Jonathan Taylor is why he's the reigning rushing MVP. And I think, you know, that defense is going to rally off of that. They do a good job of winning at home. So I like Indy at home as well.
Vikings 4-1 at Miami Dolphins 3-2. Two straight losses for the Dolphins, obviously being banged up. Tua, we're not sure about his availability. Head coach Mike McDaniel said yesterday that he still doesn't have a timetable if Tua is unable to play. Teddy Bridgewater or Skylar Thompson will start again. JJ, I'm going to be pretty clear and concise with this one. I think the Vikings get this win. Right now, the Dolphins secondary has not played up to standard. Xavien Howard was out with a groin injury on Sunday, but they're getting torched. I think they're one of the worst secondaries in the NFL. And with Minnesota coming to town and that high-flying offense with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and then Dalvin Cook and Alex Mattison getting the job done on the ground, Minnesota goes into Miami and gets a win rather easily. Now, 26-17 is what I have it. Miami, they're going to have to rely a lot more on that run game, especially if Tua's out again, and maybe get Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle more involved in those quick bubble screens, maybe some reverse plays, get those guys the ball in space. But yeah, I don't think it'll be enough. Minnesota's playing really good right now. They get the job done by 9.
Yeah, Minnesota's playing some great defense. Their two receivers is playing great. We know that, what kind of caliber of receivers they have. I think Kirk Cousins is doing a good job of being conservative. doing great things in the play action run as well. Devin Cook's doing good at keeping them healthy, and they have Madison behind him as well too. So I like Minnesota and what they're doing. I think their defense is just going to be a little too much for Miami. I think Miami's still battling emotionals, a thing or two, and also with Bridgewater being out as well. Like you said, the defense can't really get it together right now, and I just think Minnesota is just on the roll right now to get it done, so I like Minnesota as well.
All right, Bengals 2-3 at the Saints 2-3. They're going to New Orleans, which is one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. JJ, do you think Who Dat Nation gets the win here?
I think it's time. I think, like I said, I think they did a good job of pulling it off with, I guess, a good team in Seattle last week. Geno Smith did a great job of doing great things, but their defense rallied together and got it done. So I think Who Dat actually does get a chance to pull it through. I think they're kind of getting back on the comfortable side of things, getting the groove of things. The defense is finally playing great ball together. We all knew they had a lot of new additions to that defense. So I think what's that added in is also with Tyson Hill, compliments that offense to Alvin Kamara coming back, being healthy as well. I like Who Dat Nation right now.
Not so fast, as Lee Corso says. I'm going to go with the Bengals here. I think they get the job done. I understand they're coming off a loss, a tough one at that in Baltimore. They fell just short. And, you know, the offense still does not look as explosive as they did last season. I guess Super Bowl slump, as you could say, where Zach Taylor hasn't necessarily been dialing up the right play calls on offense defensively. I think they've done enough. I mean, Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard have been a consistent force in the backfield. But Joe Burrow, it's only a matter of time before he figures things out and before he's able to get enough time in the pocket to deliver the ball down the field to his weapons. Now, T. Higgins was active, but he didn't play due to an ankle injury. So that did indeed impact the game because he is a big impact player. Now, I'm going to go with the Bengals here, 27-23 over the New Orleans Saints. Now, we'll see what the word is on Jameis Winston. If he's ruled out again with those four back fractures, it'll be Andy Dalton again, who's played very well. But I think since he's able to go into a hostile environment and get this ship back on track, get back to 500, so 27-23, I have Cincy winning in New Orleans. Now, fascinating matchup here. The Ravens, 3-2, now leading the AFC North, taking on the 4-1 New York Giants at MetLife Stadium, JJ. And this is a rather interesting one, more so because Wink Martindale is going to play his former team. He was a former DC in Baltimore, and you know he's a very aggressive defensive mind. Here, I'm still going to ride with the Baltimore Ravens, 30-24. Lamar Jackson's playing at another level right now with J.K. Dobbins running the ball well. And Mark Andrews, the guy cannot be contained. And the Giants, you know, I give them an immense amount of credit. They have played tremendous football considering the circumstances and the lack of wide receivers. And Brian DeBall right now, I think, is making a case to be coach of the year because he is doing a masterclass in New York, and they're going to play the Ravens tight, no doubt about it. But the Ravens right now have that edge with Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey playing better football in the back end. So Baltimore 30-24.
Yeah, this matchup is a little bit different. It's not so easy just to pick one side. Back in the days, you know, you used to say the Ravens are going to run away with it. But like I said, the Giants are playing great ball. I think they got an MVP in the backfield with Saquon. But like to you, to like your likings and what you said, I like Lamar Jackson and what he's doing. Andrews is playing great ball. He's unstoppable in the seams and at a tight end position. Dobbins is getting his feet underneath him. He's playing some great ball. The defense has always been good and scrappy. And I think it's just going to be a little too much for Daniel Jones and that crew up in the Giants. So I like the Ravens as well.
Buccaneers at Steelers. Tampa with the win. They're 3-2. The Steelers 1-4. You and I talked about this on Sunday, JJ. Pittsburgh, one of your former teams. You know, going with Kenny Pickett, Mike Tomlin is probably facing a lot of uncertainty, and the seat's getting a little bit warm in Pittsburgh. People are starting to question maybe he went to the rookie quarterback a little bit too early, but they got throttled by Buffalo. As expected, right? But I think things were a little bit worse. When you're an NFL team, you expect to at least be within range, but that was just an absolute crushing defeat in Buffalo. They return home to take on the Tampa Bay Bucs. Here, JJ, I mean, Tampa's defense is one of the best in the league. Todd Bowles has those guys playing good. The defense has never been really an issue for Tampa this year with Levante David and Devin White and Vita Vea, you know, Shaq Barrett. Those guys get after quarterbacks, and I think they're going to come right after Kenny Pickett. Najee Harris has not been able to get anything going offensively in Pittsburgh, and that factors the offensive line not getting the job done. Yeah. I like Tampa here, though, you know, 24-13, even though Tampa's offense has kind of looked a little stuck in the mud recently, but they'll do enough in Pittsburgh, and of course, led by that defense, I expect them to make life very difficult for Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I knew going into Buffalo that was going to be tough, especially under the circumstances that they did. Like I said, they did a quarterback change in the middle of the game the week before, and then you throw Pickett into the mix like that with a great Buffalo team that's, like I say, probably one of the best in the AFC right now, going into week six right now. So, like I say, Tampa Bay Buccaneers is playing some great ball. Their defense has always been sound underneath Todd Bowles. Tom Brady is, like I say, he's going to do what Tom Brady does, man, is that's find a way to get a dub and get a win. I think some of his players is coming back healthy on the offensive side of the ball. I think the Steelers, as much as I love Mike Tomlin and what he does up there, I still think they're going to be a little bit behind the ball. They're just trying to get Pickett up to speed and what he kind of needs to do in a crucial situation here. So I like Tampa Bay, too, here up in the Steelers.
Panthers 1-4. They're going to have Steve Wilks leading them as the interim head coach. They're going to go to L.A. to play the Rams 2-3, coming off back-to-back losses at SoFi Stadium. Baker Mayfield has a high ankle sprain. If there is ever a game for the Rams to get back on track, this is the game, playing a Carolina team that is down in the dumps right now, trying to work themselves back up within L.A. I'm going to go with them here, 29-13. Their offensive line continues to be an issue because of injuries, and Stafford's getting clobbered. I mean, the Cowboys, 5 sacks on Sunday. So they have a lot of things to clean up. But if there was ever a matchup that they wanted to say, all right, we're going to get back on track, we're going to play the football that we're used to playing under Sean McVay, this is it. So I'll go with the Rams here.
Yeah, I think the Rams have something to prove off of the close loss, the loss that they had the other day as well. I like McVay coming back and responding. He's a guy that always tends to come back and show what he can do and not throw it. I want to see him get Allen Robinson more involved. I think once they get Allen Robinson involved, quick game, different things of that sort. Since your O-line is down, what do? You go to quick game and do different sorts, not to put a lot of pressure on your O-line. I think the defense is going to respond. Jalen Ramsey always does a good job of coming up in the clutch. And I think with the Carolina team, with the motions that they have, their coach being gone and trying to, you know, just piece it together to the end of the season, I like the Rams here as well.
Cardinals at Seahawks here, 2-3 for Arizona. Nearly had that win on Sunday, 2017, a missed field goal was what led to them losing that game at home to the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to go take on a divisional rival, the Seattle Seahawks, who are also 2-3. This game, I think, is going to be almost a shootout because Geno Smith has been playing some really good football, and Arizona's secondary has been a weak spot this year, and they're still looking for more depth at corner. I'm going to roll with Arizona, though, JJ, 31-27. Kyler Murray, I always go with a team that has a more dynamic quarterback that has the ability to lead a game-winning drive. I think Kyler Murray is that in this matchup against Geno Smith. So Arizona, I like them to get it done, although it'll be close.
Yeah, I like Arizona as well. I think Kyler Murray, like I say, we talked about this week after week of him and Cliff, the head coach, and just trying to get them together. I don't understand why they're not as clicking as well as they should be, especially coming off the year that they had last year. But here's my hats off to Geno Smith and what he's doing up in Seattle. He's playing some great ball with a team that we didn't think would be as good, and they still find ways to play close games and win as well. So I like Arizona here. I think Kyler Murray and that team find a way to get it done up in Seattle.
One of the best matchups of week six, 3:30 p.m. time slot. Bills 4-1 at the Chiefs 4-1. This is going to be a mega game to watch. These two teams have history going back the last couple of years in the playoffs, the Chiefs getting the better end of the stick against Buffalo. They'll be back at Arrowhead. You know those fans are going to be crazy, JJ. I can't wait to watch. I'm going to go with Kansas City here. 38-34. Patrick Mahomes is playing at another level. I know Josh Allen is also continuing to function that offense in Buffalo at a very high level. But defensively, Kansas City has shown some things, especially with that pass rush with Chris Jones, yeah. George Karlaftis, their first-round pick, and then Frank Clark. When he is right, He's also a difference maker. And then the linebacking unit led by Nick Bolton. This Kansas City front will make a play when it is needed on Sunday. I just can't go against Mahomes right now, especially playing at home. Now, they're playing in Buffalo. Maybe we're having a different story. But Kansas City right now with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, your guy from Georgia Southern, who has given them that spark on the ground as well. Travis Kelce, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he is unstoppable. So I'm going to give the edge to Kansas City here, but it should be a fun one. Give me the Chiefs, 38-34.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs as well. I was going to roll Buffalo, man, but until somebody showed me that they can stop Mahomes, and like I told you, that quarterback tight end duo that they have there is probably one of the best ones I've seen around in the league for a while, compared to Romo and Witten. I think those two guys just understand each other, understand how to find the softness in the defense. You know who's going to get the ball. We know who's going to be their top receiver, and they still can't find a way to get it done. And like you say, hail Southern to my guy, Jerick McKinnon. He's playing some great ball right now. He always tends to show up and give the Kansas City a disadvantage when they need a spark, and also being a mismatch against linebackers and different things when lining out wide too. And I think, like you said, their defense is playing great ball too. The secondary is holding in place, not letting them get beat over the top. Chris Jones and them is doing a good job of getting out to the pass rusher. And when you have all three parts of the game playing good ball like that, it's kind of hard to beat, especially in Arrowhead. So give me Chiefs as well.
Now the one I'm most interested in here, JJ, the Dallas Cowboys, 4-1, taking on the Philly Eagles, 5-0, unbeaten. Marquee matchup in the NFC East Division. Winner gets that number one spot. Obviously, you know who I'm rolling with, the Dallas Cowboys here, JJ. I'm going to roll with them just because, how about them Cowboys, of course, coming off a big win at the Super Bowl champions' home turf. They were able to get it done defensively. Dan Quinn deserves an immense amount of credit for putting these players in positions to succeed. Micah Parsons coming off the edge, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Dorrance Armstrong needs some respect on his name. He is playing some tremendous football with that punt block on Sunday. Also, that strip sack. As long as a team has that defense to support them in a primetime game, it's always going to give that offense an opportunity to win the game. Now, we'll see about Dak Prescott. I think it's still unlikely that he plays this Sunday night, so it's going to be Cooper Rush again. He's definitely going to have to do more than 100 yards of passing in order to beat this Eagles team, JJ, because Jalen Hurts and that offense is playing some really elite level of football. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I can't go against my Cowboys. 27-24. They find a way to get it done. Defense forces a couple of turnovers. They get another touchdown on defense. They walk out of Philly with the W, JJ. So that's how I'm seeing this matchup. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go. How about the Cowboys too, man? It's hard to go against them. They are playing some great ball. Defensively, Dan Quinn, he has put together a masterpiece there. Those guys are having great chemistry. They are showing that they understand down and distance. They playing great situational football, and also the offense as well. Cooper Rush, man, he has the guys' confidence. He has those guys believing in him. He showed week in and week out that he can do it consistently, and I think their defense is going to be one of the best, if not the top three, top defense in the league right now, man. They're playing some great ball. So for that, I'm going to have them to go into Philly and take this dub back to Dallas.
Yes, sir. I hope we're both right on Sunday night. I can't wait to watch the game. I'm already nervous, and that's because we're just on Tuesday. Absolutely. To close things out, we're going to see Broncos country, who's been just an abysmal performing team in Russell Wilson's first season, along with Nathaniel Hackett, taking on the Chargers 3-2. This one is at SoFi Stadium on Monday Night Football. Reports came out about Russell Wilson playing with that partially torn lat, but his decision-making, though, in primetime on Thursday was questionable once again. You even texted me, like, what's going on with Russell Wilson? And, you know, I was working the game, but I saw the very end and watched the highlights back, and he just doesn't look comfortable. And, you know, he has all the weapons he needs with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler and Albert O, their tight end. I haven't seen enough to be convinced that they can go on the road to take on a very talented Chargers team led by Justin Herbert. So I'm going to go with the Chargers here, 24-17. The Broncos defense may keep them in this game. Pat Surtain is a heck of a corner. Bradley Chubb has also got about 4 or 5 sacks this season, but the Chargers, I think, get it done here, JJ, at home. I can't pick Denver right now considering what I've seen.
Yeah, Denver has showed a lot of inconsistency. Even the fact that you have one of your best players and Russell Wilson battling an injury going into a Chargers team that's loaded as well defensively as well as offensively too. Like you said, it's no rhythm, it's no consistency over there. I know he's doing the best he can. Like I said, their defense is playing some great ball, but it's only so much that you can expect for your defense, especially when your quarterback is high caliber and it can make plays down the field with his feet as well as making everybody else around him better. I think we talked about this early on in our podcast this year, that it's going to take some time for those guys to gel and get together. And just for the sake of that, man, I think the Chargers are close to doing something great here. I think they get a chance to pull it off here and win this as well.
Those are our Week 6 picks right there, running through the slate of games. There should be some good ones. And as we move forward into the season, can't believe we already have more than a quarter of the season gone. And looking forward to seeing how these teams perform so we can come right back next Tuesday and break down the matchups, JJ. But again, man, appreciate your time. I know you've got a lot going on as well on your plate, working out, staying in shape. And it's always good to get your player analysis on the podcast. Listeners certainly enjoy it. And let's watch some good football this weekend.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. Thank you for working with me this morning. And like you say, you know, I wasn't going to miss it for nothing in the world, man. And I'm excited for this week's games and these week's showdown this week. So I'm excited for that and also looking forward to next week.
Yes, sir. How about them Cowboys, man? Have a blessed rest of the day.
All right. You too.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.